Okay, we're going to take your phone calls now with Robert Honeycutt. Next hour, I'll take your specific ghost stories. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Robert Honeycutt with us, of course, the Georgia Ghost Society. How'd you come up with the name? I like it.
Well, of course, it's now I'm the central Georgia representative for the American Ghost Society. My co-director, Drew Hester, is the North Georgia, and our lead investigator, Don Graham, is the South Georgia. So we decided that in tribute to Troy and all the support and help he'd given to us, we were going to come as close to naming it the American Ghost Society as we could. Plus, we wanted to make sure people knew that we were from and primarily working in Georgia.
It's a growing field. Lots of people interested. Some people aren't as sophisticated or knowledgeable as people like you, Robert. Is it a serious subject? Is it a dangerous subject? What are the pitfalls here?
Well, absolutely. There's always the potential for danger, whether it be physical danger because of the location and environment, and because there are some situations, I believe, that spiritually they can either frighten them so bad that they hurt themselves, and in the worst-case scenario, they will actually cause physical harm. I'm so happy that it has become a very popular, thing for people to do, because I'll tell you, 10 years ago, people thought I was weird. So I was a ghost hunter before it was cool. What scares me, though, is because of the popularity of a lot of the TV shows, that people are using them as a how-to guide. And, you know, the shows are television, they're entertainment. And if people are really interested in learning, they need to get with someone that has some experience in their area. What really scares me is the number of new groups that pop up every month. They start websites. They use bits and pieces of information and graphics from already established websites. To give you an example, just like Andrew's Georgia Paranormal Research Team. Well, there's so many different variations of Georgia Paranormal Research, and of course they're doing the same thing to mine. And I think what it is they're hoping that someone looking for us will go to them. But people should do what they know, learn it, work your way up. You can't run before you learn to walk, and you have to walk after you've learned to crawl. And there's no shame in it. Do what you know, learn it from the ground up, and go as you can.
Okay, let's go to some of the phone calls. We'll pick it up by going to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
How you doing?
We're well, thank you.
Okay, my grandfather passed away about 15 years ago, and he passed away in a way like he was alive in bed, but everything wasn't working, like he was brain dead. And I went to visit him, and when I went to the hospital, I put my hand on his forehead and I called his name a few times. And then what happened was the next day when I went to sleep, I would, in the middle of the night, he would be standing on the side of my bed. And I would wake up screaming. I screamed so loud that my mother came downstairs. She said, "What's wrong?" And I go, and I told her about it. And that constantly happened for about five to six years. I didn't know what to do. It happened at nighttime, and it would happen at daytime.
Well, a lot of times we've, and of course, there again, this is all theory. We don't know this for sure. But a lot of people believe that sometimes when people die, that they may not know they're dead.
Yeah.
In other cases, there have been times where someone loves their family so much and is really attached to a particular location to where they will stay there for a while. I believe that, God gave us all free will, and I don't think he rescinds that just when we become only spirit. So I think if, you know, if they want to stay for a while, and of course there are other stories of people seeing similar things, and it was believed that this was the ghost or the person trying to let the people know that they're okay, they're not suffering. So
yeah.
It's really hard to tell, you know, without having done some, you know, background on your grandfather and the area. But more than likely, it's because he's attached to you and your family in the house. Are you still seeing him today?
No, I went and saw a holy man, and he gave me a necklace to wear. He said he made it himself with his own hands, and he put a few numbers and letters in the necklace, and he told me to wear it around your neck, and I did, and everything stopped for about a couple of months, and then it started up again. And then I saw another holy man, and he told me to put some holy water, drink some holy water, and put the holy water beside your bed. Mm-hmm. And he won't go near you. And that's what I did, and he was right. He helped me out so much. You know, I thanked him, and because it got to a point where when I saw his spirit, I could not move or I could not speak. But my eyes were open, and I was thinking to myself, what is going on? It's like I broke my neck or something, like I'm paralyzed,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and there are also cases, you know, that are documented about this same thing happening. Some people will attach it automatically to sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And then other aspects, people will call it the night hag syndrome, where there mm-hmm. will be a spirit there. It's so difficult to say. I have found, though, that over the years, if you try to look for the most simple answer, 9 times out of 10, that's what the problem is going to be. Has he done anything that you feel threatens you in any kind of way?
Excuse me?
Does he do anything that you feel is threatening, or is he just standing there?
Well, he's just standing there, but I asked my mother the history of him, and he wasn't a good man. And he did not like me when I was a little child, so.
Well, and how was your relationship before he died?
He barely spoke to me, and from what I hear from my father and mother, that he did not like me for something, and it's just. And then when he passed away, he just sort of took like a revenge on me that I did not know why. So I really regret touching him when I went to visit him in the hospital. I should not have done that.
Well, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and from what you're telling me, it may be, you know, depending, because whatever personality he had in life, he's going to have it in the afterlife.
They keep that, don't they, Robert?
Absolutely. So if, you know, if he had animosity towards you, you know, there may be a possibility that he was just trying to frighten you. But if what the holy man told you works, then by all means, keep it up. And sometimes these will take breaks for a while, and then they'll, you know, start back up. So don't hesitate to, you know, speak to him again, you know, if you need further help in the future.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Marion, Ohio.
Alrighty, thanks.
I've got an old house here. It was built in the early 1900s, and I've owned it for probably 17 years. And the first 14 years, I've never experienced anything here. I never ever really believed in ghosts or hauntings or anything like that. Well, I do taxidermy for a living. I'm down in my basement one night working on a deer head, and the washer and dryer is behind me, and the dryer door slams. I assume it's my girlfriend just snuck down the stairs to throw some laundry in there or something. I turn around and yell at her. I say, hey, throw me down my skull, you know, my tobacco.
Yeah.
It's upstairs. And and she's gone. I think, man, she made it up the stairs fast, you know. So I put my stuff down. I run up the stairs real fast, try to catch her before she makes it to the top of the stairs. And she's not in the kitchen. So I thought, man, she was all the way to the living room. So I come into the living room, and she's here sleeping on the couch, both my kids sleeping on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that was weird. That was, you know, I've never experienced anything like that.
Well, my first question to you would be, have you done any renovation or new construction in the house?
Oh, constantly. I'm always doing little things here and there. I've sided it. I put a wood stove in it. And it's a duplex, so I work on the other side to rent it out.
Well, there are a lot of documented cases that people that do renovations, especially on older homes, for one reason or another, that this will increase or start the spirit activity. We don't know really why. I think the assumption is that the activity of changing their home and the way they perceive it, you know, they may not necessarily be upset. They may just be checking it out. Mm-hmm. The other thing you said about taxidermy, mm-hmm. there are a lot of reported cases of animal spirits. So there again, it's very difficult
to say.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's very difficult to say, you know, in just a few moments what it is or what it couldn't be. Mm-hmm. But if it's activity that continues, you may want to get one of the groups in your area to come out and do an on-site investigation.
And so, like, after that happened, nothing really happened for a long time. Then one time I was in the kitchen, and my daughter was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the covered door was open, and it's about head level. And I walked by her, and it slammed real fast, and I thought she did it, and she thought I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we both looked at each other, and we're like, you know, what's going on?
It's usually something like that that makes you start believing. I mean, people have to have a real experience like that before they'll contemplate that it could be something to it.
Okay, thanks for that call. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had an experience. I've seen ghosts my whole life. This one experience really scared me. I felt like I was going to pass out, and I fell asleep, and felt like my soul was being pulled out of my body, and the whole time it was like I was awake at the same time. I floated downstairs, and I said, whoa, is this what it's like to die? And I have a cross at the bottom of the stairs, and as soon as I saw it, I jumped back into my body, and right then there was a voice next to me, and it said, you jerk. And 25 years ago, a friend of mine came in my room about 2 in the morning. He was really drunk, and he took my mattress underneath me and tried to flip it over me. And he said, you jerk. And he left, and he went to another friend's house and committed suicide.
Oh, my God.
And I know it was him. And I'm wondering if a ghost can pull a soul out of your body, take your soul out of your body like that, or
what your comments are. What it sounds like to me is that you possibly had an out-of-body experience. The fact that, you know, you do have some sensitivities and possible psychic abilities because you've seen the spirits, that you are going to be a little bit more, I won't say the word, the target of, but you're probably going to perceive things a lot more than the average person would. And I've never heard of a spirit pulling your soul out of your body.
It was very weird.
Yeah, and you know what I would suggest, especially if this is something that you know, if you see spirits like this quite a bit, there are several, you know, good psychics in the country that work with people that teach them, you know, how to take a little bit more control to where you can cut it on and off to protect yourself.
I'd like to look into that.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I don't have any what I consider psychic abilities whatsoever. Over the years, I've been fortunate to work with some of the better psychics in the country. And one thing that they've taught me is that someone, you know, has a situation like that, that it's as good as anything to try to get some help for.
Okay. And what about somebody that commits suicide and not going over to the other side?
Well, and there again, it's so difficult to say exactly. I mean, I'm Catholic, and of course the Catholics believe that suicide is a mortal sin. So other denominations and beliefs and faiths, don't have such a, staunch position. Other things is that, because he committed suicide, he's, and for whatever actions he did against you, he may feel guilty. He may be afraid that if he goes on to the other side, that he may have some kind of punishment to deal with.
I see. If he comes around again, is there anything I can do to talk him into going back over to the other side?
Well, because it's your home, you have authority there. You can tell the spirit, that this is your home and it's time for him to leave and to not come back. And in some cases that works, depending on how determined he is or if there are any other agents involved in this, you may want to try to get some help with your particular faith. I'll tell people 9 times out of 10, it's never a bad idea to consult clergy if they feel, that there is a problem.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Exorcisms. Ever sit in on one, Robert?
No. And the reason why is Andrew, of all the cases that we've worked together, he would never let me accompany him on one. And he does that, simply for my protection. He gets into some of the really nasty stuff, and he realizes the potential for danger.
Oh, sure.
So, he's one of my best friends, and there have been times that I've been tempted to want to go, but, I trust in what he tells me.
Don't want to sneak some equipment in there just to record it, maybe?
Well, now, that's one thing that he and I have discussed before. I'm really not in favor of people recording an exorcism just simply to be able to see it.
It's a little too sacred, isn't it?
Well, I believe so. And then there's always the potential for whatever is captured on the video, someone watching it under the right circumstances, things could fire up for them.
I would
rather err on the side of caution.
Sure. Do you see any problems facing the paranormal investigators?
Oh, absolutely. Because it has become such a popular thing now, a lot of these people are, starting groups and not really going through any kind of research or training. They're just going out after it. You'd be amazed at how many people that have been doing this for 3 to 4 or 5 years that call themselves a paranormal investigator. The other thing that really disturbs me are the number of people across the country who, for whatever reason, give themselves a title. And the main one that bothers me the most is demonologist. It has always amazed me how people can decide that they just, now I'm a demonologist. They believe that they have enough Christian faith to deal with it, but they don't stop and realize that a lot of people that are really into demonology have a lot of knowledge about both the good side and the bad side, and that they take every precaution. I've seen people that have severe psychological and alcohol problems try to deal with this. And, of course, then you've got those that have had problems with demonic hauntings in their private life that they want to try to start working it themselves, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I agree with that. Stay with us. We'll take more calls with Robert Honeycutt. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, pick up the After Dark newsletter. You get 13 issues for the price of 12. You can call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Robert, do you ever spend the night, or does the group spend the night at a place?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things we try to shoot for, depending on the amount of access we have and how feasible it is, especially in somebody's home. We try to stay all night. There's no way that you can go into a location for just a few hours and really hope to get anything. And I've been to some locations that are active one time and very quiet the next. So you have to spend as much time at it as you can, you know, to really get any good results.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. We'll pick it up by going to our, who's been on hold for so long? Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jonathan in Eugene, Oregon.
Hey, Jonathan, thank you.
Hi, George. I have a couple questions for our guest. Has he ever tried, or has he ever been able to find the same EVP in two different recording devices?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have had instances where we're recording and shooting video at the same time, and we have picked them up on both. I don't think each situation, you know, you're going to get it every time, but the conditions may have to be right. But no, we absolutely have captured it on two mediums at the same time.
Okay, that'd be interesting to hear the two. Also, I have another question. Have you ever tried hooking up a headset directly to a microphone so that someone could hear the voice in real time?
Well, no, they have these little small parabolic microphones now that amplify the sound and goes to a pair of headphones or earphones. I don't use them because when we're doing EVP, we do it two different ways. We'll set a recorder in a particular area in what we call a static, which is just left on. And then other times we will use one and we will ask specific questions trying to invoke a response. So it really depends. Each situation is a little bit different and unique. I try not to go too far with the technology. I know some people are using the little small parabolic mics now, but so far I've had such good results with what I'm doing. I go by the old adage, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
I see. Has someone been in the room listening at the same time that the EVP is actually occurring, that way they could hear it while you guys are still in the situation? Has that ever happened? Have you guys ever experimented with that?
Well, now most of the times that when we've actually heard the auditory phenomena with our ears, most of the time we don't get it recorded. Sometimes we do. There was one case that we worked years ago in North Georgia where Father Calder and I were in a room completely in the dark and standing about 5 feet apart, and we heard someone or something take a deep breath and let it out, exhale. And Andy's first words were, "Bob, was that you?" And I said, "No, I was kind of hoping it was you." But at the same time, the recorders didn't pick it up. We really don't know how or why EVP works. We don't know if it's a psychic impression from the ghost or spirit, if it's picking up residual energy. We really don't know. It's EVP, even though it's been around for a long time, people are still trying to come to grips with the best way to do it and how it works.
Okay, thanks for that call. When you are on an assignment and you've got your equipment out and everything else, have you ever physically seen anything, regardless of what cameras or tape recorders pick up?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably other than the first experience I had with an apparition, last year, one of my teammates and I, Jason Lewis and I, were at the Waverly Sanitarium. We were up there for a week for an event. And on the first night, after we had set up our equipment, we were in the old cafeteria area on the second floor. And there had been a crowd of people around. Chris Moon was there with the box. Mm-hmm. And after a few minutes, the crowd kind of ambled down the hallway, and Jason and I stood there and by ourselves. And about 15, 20 feet in front of us, we saw a woman walk out of a door. And she stopped and she looked at us, and then turned around and went back in the door. And we went running after it and got into the room. And, of course, Jason went to the left, I went to the right, but there was no other doorways or exits, and there was nobody there. That was one of those times where we wished it had been picked up by video. The fortunate thing is that we both saw the same thing at the same time.
Okay, next up, let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about how many people claiming, you know, people are so quick to claim that places are haunted. I believe in spirits. I believe in the Bible, you know, so I pretty much have to. The two kind of go together. But I've been working as an after-hours security guard for about 12 years at two hospitals and a university. They have had a lot of dark and creepy places and whatever, and I've heard so many people claim that these places were haunted, but I've never seen a thing, which would lead me to believe it. But I would imagine, I mean, just that's just me. You probably get hundreds or, you know, or more times the claims I get. I just can't imagine how many you have to, you know, go through, and how do you sift through all that?
Well, one of the first things that we do is we try to ascertain what the person is seeing and what their motive is behind it. Is it something that's frightening them? Is it something they're trying to prove to where, you know, especially if it's a historical location, you know, it may add a little bit more air of mystery to it. So, you know, we do the questioning, and then a lot of times we'll send somebody out to do an initial mini investigation. One thing that we have noticed over the years is that men are not very open to the idea of ghosts. Women and children are a lot more perceptive, probably because they are more in touch with their emotions and their spiritual side, where men are taught to be analytical and logical and think things through. A lot of times people will tell us about an incident that happened, and they've misperceived, you know, natural phenomena.
I get a lot of that, too.
Yeah. And let's face it, there are a lot of people that unexplained noises and things that go bump in the night, their first thought is that it's the ghost. And where I, you know, try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt until I catch them in a lie, you know, you're trying to make sure that they are giving you all of the information that you need to make your assessment. There have been many times that we've gone to a location and we didn't really find any spirit activity, but there were possibilities of some natural phenomena that were causing the problems. So you give them the benefit of the doubt. There's only been one time that I've caught somebody in a lie trying to perpetrate a hoax, but they do happen, and you just have to keep an open but skeptical mind at the same time.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks.
Well, earlier you guys were playing some EVPs. My name is Ron. I'm from Atlanta, or just north of Atlanta. You were playing some EVPs from a house, and I was actually at that investigation. And I had an altercation with this malevolent in the house, and Bob knows me. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Ron. This is Ron McClellan. He's the producer and director of the documentary that we've been working on.
Okay.
The Seekers. And Ron has jumped in there with us. I think prior to this project, he had experienced some personal things in his life, but he had never really gotten down to the nitty-gritty like we do. So he's primarily worked in motion pictures of the horror genre, and we decided we wanted to try to put something together that showed the real story behind an investigation. And for some reason, Ron seems to attract a lot of activity, and they seem to focus on him a lot of nights.
Well, I was actually, me and one of the psychics that were there went into the attic to take the IR camera up there and walk around and let her do her thing. And I was in the middle of the room, nothing around me. And all of a sudden, I felt this really hard scratch on my arm. And it just, you know, it's really scared me. So I said, you know, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. And the psychic immediately said, "What, did you get scratched?" I'm like, yeah, I think so. We went downstairs. There were blood on my arm. Well, we were kind of talking about it, and they were filming it. And the homeowner came out and said, you know, try to keep it down a little bit. My little boy's asleep, and I don't want him to get scared if he hears you.
Sure.
And I said, I'm sorry. Well, when we went back and reviewed the video that they were filming, and when we were filming this, you hear her say that. You hear me say, oh, I'm sorry. And then you hear this voice say, oh, I'm sorry. And it goes, hey, and that really freaked me out.
That is freaky.
And it was the same voice you guys heard earlier. We actually got, what we did to get those EVPs is we took the phone, we pulled the speaker out of it and connected the wires directly to the computer, so we got really good quality. And we picked up over 40 EVPs, just like the ones you heard.
I know, that's an amazing amount in that certain spot.
And it was, there was scratching going on. There was one of our investigators, who's a skeptic, was in the bedroom by himself, kept hearing scratching on this closet door. And every time he would open it, you know, there would be nothing there. But the closet had shelves all the way up to the door, so there's no one could possibly even get in there.
Would you ever go there again, Ron?
No, not personally. You know, if I get attacked, okay, that means he don't want me there. So, yeah, you know, discretion being the better part of valor, no. I think I'll do other malevolent cases, but not that particular one.
All right, I don't blame you. Thanks for the call. Would you go back, Robert?
Well, the sad thing is I think the family was very overwhelmed, and they did not want us to come back because we were trying to offer them some help. I will go back, you know, if it's, you know, if there's any way to help them. I mean,
sometimes they don't want the help.
Well, and see, that's just it. If they don't want it, you can't force it. You can't lead a horse to water. You know, if they tell us that, you know, we've even had people before that were very anti-religion tell us that they didn't want us bringing any kind of clergy in. And I mean, if they don't want the help, you can't make them take it.
No, they got to want it. They got to do it themselves.
Because they have a lot of the responsibility to help deal with the problem. It's their home.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a question for you guys about limestone, because I lived in Ohio for the longest time. I see all kinds of spirits, stuff like that. They say limestone will hold pheromonic energy.
What do you think of that? And this phone's breaking up. Limestone and energy? Possible. Very possible. Yeah.
It's possible because, you know, there are documentation of different types of minerals and rocks, you know, especially if they have a very high electromagnetic energy reading, you know, especially if it's around certain areas with seismic activity. I don't know specifically about sandstone, but I do know that some minerals, you know, are attributed to the activity in the area.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up. Hello there.
Yeah, good morning, George and Robert.
Hi.
You hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I had an idea. How about, has anyone ever tried to put together sort of an all-star ghost hunting team with all the different divisions of the paranormal?
The home run hitters.
Yeah, like, for instance, the lady who works closely with the Ghost Whisperer thing, who supposedly actually sees the ghost in real time, not like a psychic, and... Then a while back you had a guest on that had a box that scanned radio frequencies and put together, you know, some of the most respected people in their field.
Yeah.
All together at one site. Just for instance, like you take a Boot Hill, you know, and go to the cemetery there at Boot Hill, for instance, just as an abstract, and have the lady who actually, I'll say Ghost Whisperer lady, I can't remember her name, sorry for that, but have her
Marianne.
Speak and ask.
Marianne.
Yeah, Marianne. Have her ask, regulated questions, just things that, you know, nobody could, you know, say that, you know, it was all pre-arranged, and maybe invite a few skeptics along to, with the combined evidence and results from all the different kinds of technology, and plus, you know, maybe the most respected psychic, Marianne, could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, or at least quieten the skeptics that there is such thing as ghosts and ghost phenomenon, you know, when everything clicks together. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and I mean, there have been, I know for sure that there have been times that different people, you know, that are very popular for one reason or another have gotten together. And there have been times that we've been fortunate to work with some of them on particular cases. What I try to do, though, because I think that's going to take away from the real research and investigation, especially if it's at a home or a residence, because there's going to be more attention of who's there instead of what we're doing. And most of the team members that I have, you know, have their particular specialty and expertise. And we, like I say, we do work with certain mediums and psychics. So I know that, you know, we've thought about that, you know, how good would it go? But it's like putting a baseball team together. You can have the all-stars, you know, from every baseball team in the league, and they may not play that well together. So I really try to focus on what's going to work best instead of what's going to be the most, you know, the most popular or the most novelty-wise.
West of the Rockies, take it away. Hi.
Hello?
Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Tom from Hollister, California. And, hey, George, your program's great.
Thank you,
Tom.
Long-time
listener, first class. Bob, Robert, I saw up on the schedule for tonight that, you know, you're with the society and all, and I used to live in Savannah, Georgia for 2.5 years while stationed at Hunter Army Airfield.
Yeah, oh, yes. I love Savannah.
Okay, now let me tell you where I used to live now, and it may ring a bell. May ring a bell to some of the folks out there tonight in the Coast to Coast family. I lived in Bonaventure Court off of Bonaventure Road, known as Wobbles Court.
Yes.
And all these, it was the big home, and it's, you know, a court, but it was owned by the one family. And just getting to know folks around there, I had a lot of time off, and I used to fish down the road there to the side of the cemetery, go through the cemetery and fish the river, and just getting to know people. And they go, where do you live? I go, I'm over in Bonaventure Court. Oh, yeah, that's haunted. You know, that's Wobbles Court. That's haunted.
Yeah.
Well, getting to know my neighbors and all, I asked my one neighbor, Tommy, and I asked him about it. And he goes, I haven't, because you need to talk to Ray, because talk to Ray when he comes home. So I didn't catch up with Ray until a Saturday, and I asked him about it. He goes, Tommy, he goes, have a seat. And he told me the little deal that he went through, and he explained to me that he goes, well, someone used to live here and there. They had some experiences too, but he says what he saw was, he says, obviously this was very old. He figured it was a time warp because he had one guy walking through his house through walls from another room that would have been another room. But he said he had very older type of clothes on, but he was talking to somebody, but yet there was no sound.
How bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Very bizarre, yeah. And I never had any experiences. I lived in this one. As you drive into the court on the right side, it was a shop with a bungalow on top, and it was built in, like, the early 60s. But the rest of these places here, well, the main two homes in the front were built in the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
and the other homes were built in the late 1800s into the early 1900s.
Why is it the old places? We got to take this break. We're at the top of the hour, Robert, and we'll take the rest of the phone calls with you when we come back. But why, in 15 seconds, why the old place is always haunted?
Because of the history and the families involved in them. And it's not always just the old ones, but those are the first ones that people come to mind.
Yeah, I can see that. We'll be back.